We begin on Daf Ches Amud Aleph. About a third down the wide lines. If I want to be more precise, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. The 11th wide line. Toward the end of the line we have two dots. I just want to sum up what we were discussing before we move on. We were talking about the greatness of having a shul in the neighborhood. So just worthwhile to stress, the Chazal are coming and telling us a secret, that it's an unbelievable zchus to live near a shul and to have a shul available. You should take advantage of it. Now, sometimes you see in Chazal things, they tell you it's a zchus if you, I don't know, Tikkun Chatzos is a great zchus for this or for that. And you think, wow, sounds really great, halavai that I could do it. Now, the truth is that this is, we have to think in these terms regarding a shul also. We're so used to the idea, we're spoiled. We don't realize that really a shul is mamish, a spiritual luxury. As far as zchusim go in the olam ha'emes. A neighborhood has a house, right? If you look through the directory of the neighborhood, among the residents of the neighborhood is Hashem. You set up a shul, a humble shul.
What about a minyan in a private house?
A minyan in a private house? Okay. There's two madrigas. There's a minyan in a private house has the mile of tefillah b'tzibur. But if it's not a place that's designated specifically for tefillah, it doesn't have that extra level of a shul. And therefore, one should always prefer to daven in the shul than to daven in a minyan in a private house. It's better to daven in a shul with more people than with less people, provided that it's an equally comfortable davening. Exactly, right. If you daven in a big shul that sounds like a stadium, keep away. But also, just in general, if you daven in a shul where it's loud and noisy and you don't feel that you could daven well there, daven in the smaller shul. But otherwise, all factors being equal, better to daven in a shul with a bigger tzibur. Now, you asked the other day, I have a couple of outstanding debts here. You asked the other day, is it better to daven at home, if you're not going to daven with the tzibur, is it better to daven at home at the time when the tzibur is davening, or later in the shul by yourself? We saw that there are both have advantages, right? You can't daven with the tzibur, at least daven in the shul. Or, you can't daven in shul, at least daven when the tzibur is davening. Which is better? And the answer is that davening at the time of the tzibur is better than davening in a shul without tzibur. It's preferred to daven at home at the time when the tzibur is davening, because that's a time, an eis ratzon. Maybe take a stash over to where you're going to sit. Oh, or sit here. Oh, okay. And that's a time of an eis ratzon. It's a time that the tzibur is davening. It's more important. That's the preferred option. Another point I just wanted to mention, another outstanding debt Jonathan brought up the other day. We started discussing a minyan of Rishayim. You asked that question too. A minyan of Rishayim. And I asserted that a minyan of people who are not Shomer Shabbos is not a minyan. People who are not Shomer Shabbos don't count towards a minyan. But Jonathan questioned that, which caused me to go check it out again. And it's actually an interesting discussion. The simple halacha, simply understood, is that a person who's Mechal Shabbos does not count towards a minyan. Yet, contemporary poskim do say, and this is a very interesting discussion, that Bishas Hadchak, when there's no other way, you can count them. And Rav Moshe Feinstein has a very interesting raya towards that. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, so again, this is the Mishnah Berurah who says that not. A Mechal Shabbos doesn't count. Yeah. Mechal Shabbos means in public. Person who officially doesn't keep Shabbos. Now, so Rav Moshe Feinstein says, what's the source of the concept of a minyan? Where do we know that a 10 people are called with tzibur? The Meraglim. Were the Meraglim big tzaddikim? They were Rishayim. The whole concept of a minyan is derived from a minyan of Rishayim. That's what Rav Moshe Feinstein says. gainus of Rav Moshe. Yes, but when were they called an Eda? The wording of the pasuk is he badlu mi toicha Eda hara'a hazois. That's where the whole source of 10 people constituting it. That's another pasuk. But the pasuk of the Meraglim is he badlu mi toicha Eda hara'a hazois v'chaloisom keroga. So the whole source that 10 people constitute a minion was said about a minion of Rishayim. Genius of Rav Moshe Feinstein. You derive halacha lemaisa from a pasuk of the Meraglim. Yes, if the only minion in town is a conservative or reform minion, where the minion is conducted contrary to halacha, that's not even what we're talking about here. What we're talking about now is 10 Rishayim come to shul to daven properly. That's our discussion now. When you're talking about a reform or conservative place where the tefillah is conducted contrary to Hashem's will, that's nothing to talk about. Find out when they're davening and daven at a different time at home. Okay. Yeah. Now, so that's what Moshe Feinstein's raya, that yes. Yeah, so he says that yes, but only b'shas hadchak. B'shas hadchak. When you're stuck, there's no other way. Now, it's interesting, but Moshe Feinstein is a genius raya, but who's the one who said no? The Mishnah Brura, right? The Chafetz Chaim, in one of his svarim, explains that in the Maisa Meraglim, they weren't apikorsim. They weren't denying Hashem's capabilities. They were saying that their concern was, we're not going to be up to the level to be worthy of the nisim we're going to need. That's what they were worried about. Okay? Mela, Avol Yashiv points out, look how far this is going. Chafetz Chaim is l'shitasa. Chafetz Chaim is in keeping with his opinion. According to how the Chafetz Chaim explains the story of the Meraglim, Rav Moshe Feinstein's proof falls away. They were from people. They weren't up in Carson. They had their concerns, and it was wrong. They were punished very harshly, but we still wouldn't call them halachic rishon. They're very interesting machlokes.
I think Moshe gets the last word because
Hashem calls them Eidah Hara.
So that's right. True. It might be that, you know, on the side.
True. Right.
Yeah,
well.
Right.
It has to be a halachic Russia. That's the thing. It has to be a halachic Russia. Right. Let me give you an example.
We don't know anything about if they were Mechalel Shabbos or not.
Right, so that's what the Chafetz Chaim is saying, that they weren't.
Objective word Ra from Hashem. That's what you have.
That's what Avol Yashiv argues. Avol Yashiv says, okay, you can give a lot of pshatim in the story of the Meraglim. Well, what's the push of the pshat in the pasuk? What's the simple understanding of the pasuk? Simple understanding of the pasuk says, we write these people off, we're finished with them. So Avol Yashiv says, the Maaser of Moshe is right. they were bad, and that is the source of a minion. But yet, the Maaser, even Rav Moshe himself, puts this down with reservation and says, Bish'as hadchak. Bish'as hadchak. Okay, we have to... apparently, that's the impression I get. Yeah. That if you can count a Mechalel Shabbos for a minion. Okay. So those, I think I paid up my outstanding debts. Any other questions that were still outstanding for the other days? I think that's what we had. What? Right. Yeah. All things being equal, if you have two shuls, better to walk to the further one. Right. How do you put all of them together? It's complicated. When you start taking all the factors... Right. I would imagine that after taking all these things into consideration, say, where am I going to get the best davening? Taking all these factors into consideration, where am I going to get the best davening from? All the different respects. What? Yeah. I did see Sfarim that Mamish go through the whole list working out one to the other. But neither, I'll try to research that a bit more. Okay. So, really, just the finishing touch that I just want to put on this discussion is, again, to realize that you live in a neighborhood that has a shul. You have to realize that you're a rich man. You have very, very great spiritual opportunity. Again, we spend a lot of time fretting a great inyanim that we see described in Chazal that we simply can't do. There's a very great inyan. You have to realize what that means. First of all, that Hashem became a member of your community. What does it take? What are the qualifications? You want to get the President of the United States to come speak at your function. What does it take to get Hashem to decide, yes, he's going to become a member of your community? Designate him a place, and I'll be there. It can be one of these caravans. Obviously, do the best you can. Designate a place, and I'll be there. And the Gemara is telling us, a person who actually makes the shul into a regular part of his life, that's an unbelievable plus. Now, we're so you, okay, everybody does. Everybody does, but realize that's because we are enjoying spiritual luxuries. Don't put it down. We're living with an unbelievable schus by the fact that we have a shul available. Even just the prom, that's right. But even think about that. It's so taken for granted. But what? The community went? People paid money. Right? People invested of their money to dedicate a house for Hashem is an unbelievable schus for a community. And the fact that the next community also has a shul doesn't detract from that at all. To appreciate that, we have to appreciate our own schus. Okay, we'll move on to the next sugya. So now we begin right 11th, the 11th wide line by the two dots. A new discussion. Al zoy sispalel kol chosid elecho le'es mitzoy. We quote a pasuk from Tehillim. Every pious person should always be davening for the time of finding, that he should find it right. When you go try to find it, you should find it right. Huh? What's that? Now we're going to be see a lot of opinions on what it is that you should daven to find right. But first we're seeing that David HaMelech is saying that there's something that has to be a central focus of your tefillahs. Amar Rabbi Chanina. So Rabbi Chanina says, and here we have some classic gemaras. Le'es mitzoi zu isha. The davening that you should find it right refers to a wife. Find the right wife. Shenema. As it says in the pasuk, how do we know that finding refers to a wife? Matza isha, matza toy. He who found the right woman found good. Now, this doesn't seem like something that a person would be spending his whole life davening for. He got married, that's it. The deal is done. Okay, let's see. Whatever it is, I was saying should be a very, very central part of a person's tefillahs. What's that? Yeah, you could say that. Yeah. Now, b'ma'arovah, now once we quoted this pasuk, it says, he who found a wife found good. B'ma'arovah in Eretz Yisrael, ki nasiv inish itza, when a man would marry, amri lehochi, they would tell him as follows. Famous Gemara, right? Matza oy moitze. There are two psukim that talk about a woman, both stated by the same person, Shlomo HaMelech. We have to figure out what his attitude on women was. What did he say? So, matza diksiv. There's a pasuk that says matza. Matza isha matza toy. He who found a wife found good. Vayofek rotzei me'Hashem. And he actually has gained Hashem's favor. Meaning, a good wife is a sign of Hashem's favor. Hashem shows a person favor by granting him a good wife. Moitzeh. But then we find Shlomo expressing a very different attitude about this. Niksiv. Another pasuk also talks about finding a woman. I find a woman more bitter than death. So, in Eretz Yisrael, when a person would marry, they would tell him, Matzah I might say. What is it? What's it going to be? Is it going to be the Matzah puzzle? You found good. You found Hashem's favor? Or are you finding the woman more bitter than death? What's that? Nobody's business. Oh, so you're asking a good question. You should take the question a step further. It's a halachic problem with asking this question. Into Lashon Hara? Come and ask a person, all right, tell me, between the two of us, how's Shalom Bayis? What's your wife like? Okay.
When is this question being asked?
What's that? Oh, you're raising another good point. I remember, right after my chuppah, when I was heading towards the Cheder Yichud, there's always the person who asks the couple, how's married life? And if you're at a good chasana, there will be four people who will make the same joke before the chasana and kala get to the Cheder Yichud. But by my chasana, there was only one. So, that's what it seems is going on here. That's when a man gets married, they tell him, Matzai Maitze. The guy says, well, I'm gonna give me a date. Right? Like that's, so, the Chofetz Chaim asks the Lashon Hara question. How can I ask a person that? The truth is that if things are lousy, the guy won't mind. If things are good, the guy says, mind your own business. If things are lousy, the guy's happy to talk. He doesn't consider it such a private question. But, how can you ask such a question, Lashon Hara? So the Chofetz Chaim, what's that? Lifnei'iver. That's right. Then everybody's in trouble, right? Right? So,
quoting the Gemara.
What's that?
They're not asking, they're quoting.
Quoting the Gemara. And then they're going like this. So, the Vilna Gaon says, well, okay, let's start like this. The Chofetz Chaim and the Aruch Haner basically say that this actually wasn't the question, it was a statement. It was a statement. They weren't asking Matzoi Moitze. There's nothing to ask. The guy just got married. It was telling him Matzoi Moitze, meaning you have two paths ahead of you now. You have the Matzah. I'm really, exactly. The Lashon of the Gemara isn't they would ask. The Lashon of the Gemara is they would say. So we naturally read it with a question mark, but that's not necessarily the pshat. So they would say Matzoi Moitze. Now, the Vilna Gaon gives a profound shot here. I just saw the other day, it was the Vilna Gaon. I always knew it from my great-grandfather. Now I discovered that the Vilna Gaon actually says it. He says something very profound. Matzah oy moitzah. When you talk about a good wife, you say, I found a good wife. When you talk about the bad wife, you say, I find the woman more bitter than death. I find the woman more bitter than death. When you talk about the good wife, you talk in the past tense. When you're talking about the bad wife, you talk in the present. Human nature is such that when you marry somebody, you have all kinds of good attributes. You're all excited about it. You first meet the girl, first get married, you're all excited, she's this, she's that. You're singing her praises. After a month or so, you got used to them. They don't stand out anymore. That's how human nature is. The good things you become accustomed to quickly, you stop noticing them, they're taken for granted. Now what happens if she has one irksome mannerism? Will that also be forgotten after a month? It's 13 years later and the guy's still getting annoyed every day. So the annoying things, the upsetting things, is always in the present, never relegated to the past. Okay, I got used to it, shine. No, the annoying things continue to be annoying all the time. The good attributes, oh yeah, one time. Oh, actually, she still can cook good, I forgot. You used to appreciate it. At the time, you found it good. And that's why the pasuk that talks about the good wife says he found the good wife. Forgot about it by now. When he got married 23 years ago, he found a good wife. The pasuk that talks about finding the wife bitter is in the present. It's every day. There's actually a lesson here that's being conveyed to the chassid. You have to learn, and the truth is that this is a very important part of marriage, or of any other personal relationship, the truth is, not just marriage. You have to learn to keep conscious of the virtues. It's not something that's going to happen automatically. That's part of your avoida in marriage. You have to work at that. You have to keep telling yourself, look what she does this, and she does that, and try to work backwards and rediscover all the things that at the time you did take note of. Because otherwise it will just turn into griping and annoyances. So that's what they would say. Matzai might say. Even if they're asking a person a question, it's a different type of question. They're asking him, what sort of husband are you going to be? Are you going to be a matzah husband? Or are you going to be a maitzeh husband? There's musar giving being put forth. Okay. Now, what's that? How could Shlomo say maitzeh ani mami mavetz asayisha? How could Shlomo say I find the woman more bitter than death? Shlomo never died. At least not when he said that. I don't know. Interesting question. Good question. What's that? It must be more to it. It must be more to it. This is Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech is the epitome of human chachma. It must be more to it.
Maybe he has this trying to
pull
one shot deal.
Then
it's over.
Then
he's dead. You have a bad wife.
That's true. Like, going on and on and on. Death is a one-time deal. You can't suffer from death for too long. That's one thing we're all assured. Anybody who's scared of death, don't worry, it's not going to last too long. But, the, what? What's that?
12 months.
12 months, okay. What?
About
death. No, death itself. Experience of dying. It's a second, that's all, it's finished. But the suffering from the bad wife. I hear? Good chat? Okay. What's that? A bad wife takes care of it for you in this world. I know the story about the guy who wanted to make sure he doesn't go to Gehenna. So he inquired about the worst. He spent a lot of time researching. Who's the worst girl in town? And when he had 100% sure that he's getting the jackpot, he married. The next day, she's treating him like a king. 2-3 days, and he's waiting for her to start showing her colors, but it's already 3 months, and she's a dream of a wife. Yeah, so what happened? This is against all the reports. I was duped. And she answered, what do you think? You're going to go to Gan Eden? I'm going to help you get to Gan Eden? No, my friend. So he got what he wanted.
Is that true?
What's that? Yes. It's a kapara. It's a kapara. When a person has a bad wife. Now, we have to qualify that, though, because sometimes a person makes his wife into a bad wife. What? What's that? You got to do what you got to do. Meaning, it says in the Gemara, in the Gemara we find different approaches. It isn't really different approaches. It really depends on the situation. In a general way, we'll say, right, there's the story of the Tana who had a very bad wife and didn't divorce her because he had no means of paying the ksuba. That's a very unique present that Talmidim once got for the Rebbe. I don't know if you ever find a more unique present. A sponsored ksuba so he can divorce his wife. Okay, on the other hand, we find that there were Tanaim who considered it well worth it to remain married to a woman who made their lives miserable because of the benefits they provided. At the end of the day, they care for our children. So, it really depends on the circumstances. It's very hard to put down clear qualm in this thing. So what we will say, though, is that nowadays it's a little too quick. Now, people, Avigdor Miller used to speak very, very, very strongly against divorce. He used to say, in his public shiurim, he would say, divorce is never acceptable, period. People asked, everyone yelled at him privately and asked him, what do you mean? The Torah puts, right, gives the clause. And he said, of course there's situations where a person needs to get divorced. But any person who will be dissuaded, because he heard me say that you're never allowed to get divorced, really should not be getting divorced. Those circumstances where a person really gets divorced, nothing I say will make a difference. So it's fine. Just in our generation, he said, you don't want to work too hard, and it's just the easy way out. Just dump, try again. You switch them like socks. So, said, for these people, I say, never, never, never. A person said, oh, never? Okay, I'll try a little harder. So yes, sure there's such a thing. But the efforts still have to be put in. Efforts still have to be put into making it work. Heard? Listen, Angel of Death encountered somebody and told him the person wasn't scared. Say, not scared of me? He said, no, I'm married to your sister. But okay. But the truth is, these are things that we have to realize. A bad wife is it takes a lot before you can establish that you have a bad wife. There's a lot of efforts that need to be done first before a person can say he has a bad wife. Because the truth is, on the surface, men and women are not for each other. Right? Any marriage is men and women are opposite types, opposite feelings, etc., etc. So the point is that sure it's a bad match for you. You'd do better with the guys from the office. Right? If you're talking just as far as easy sailing. So it does have to be approached with a mindset of making it work. But okay, that's a long discussion. Okay. Now, Rav Nachman by Yitzchok Omar. Oh, so that's why I just wanted to get back and stress that that's why I raised the question in the first place. This is actually something that a person could be davening his whole life. When a person realizes that a relationship with a wife is not set in stone, right, it will often depend on his successes in making it work. So yes, to daven for a good wife is something that's relevant for all of your married life. For all of your married life. Davening for a good wife includes having the seichel to know what to say and how to say, and more importantly, what not to say. That's part of davening for a good wife. That's like somebody, the day I got married, somebody told me a very wise thing. It was the host where I was staying. I got married in Toronto, away from my... So the host where I was staying, he told me, the Gemara says, Mizavgin lo la'odam lefi masa. There's a stage, different mechanics, Gemara in Saita, whatever it is. There's a reach a point where Hashem sets the shidduch up according to your deservingness. Right? So he said that, I forgot who he quoted, but he said that that's not a one-time deal. Hashem is mezaveg you every day according to your deservingness. Each day, you are given a shidduch according to where you're holding. So that could be understood to mean that he's always busy making nuzi vugim. But, that's right. Dynamics at home is something that a person